good to be back. I feel like Bein HaZmanim is a little too long for me, just a little. But Baruch Hashem, this Zman is off to a strong start, and this is a very long Zman. It's a very long Zman, and we need a Mahalach, we need a plan. We have a lot to do this Zman. I think this Zman, based on popular request, we're going to be giving some shmuzin later on about Shabbos Kodesh. Yehilim wanted to hear about Shabbos. So many years, people are saying, speak about Shabbos. Not right yet, we're not doing that yet. We're going to be doing Shavuvim this Zman, discussing various challenges that go on in this generation. We need to, a lot of that. And we're going to be working on other things. There's a lot to work on. But the first thing we have to work on is what to do with a winter Zman. I mean, it's not Elul. Elul was a short Zman of 40 days. It was full swing, heavy, moving, doing. And here we have all these months ahead of us. And I find that, as far as I see it, the great people of Klal Yisrael became great men during winter's month. In this yeshiva, I've seen people emerge victorious, as starting tiny people and coming out of a winter great men, because there's so much time here. And I'd like to talk about how this happens and what exactly happens over here. But first I have to tell you a maisa that happened over Bein HaZmanim. I always like when weird things happen over Bein HaZmanim, because then I have something to talk about. And I was at the Kaisel and something struck my eye. There was a bar mitzvah. The boy was wearing a very nice suit. His father also looked like he was from GQ magazine. Very, very put together. And I see the boy go towards the Kaisel. And I see him davening like this. It was like very beautiful to see. And then all of a sudden I see the cameraman tells him that the lighting's not good. He should move a little bit over here and do it over there. So he moves over and does it over there. And he's like, time. And then I'm like, wait, this is not good. This is not good. But then I'm like, wow, look, even though the cameraman's trying to get him to daven like this and go like this and like this, but he's still fixing his tefillin. Look at the Yerushamayim, and I see the father's fixing his tefillin too. So I'm all excited. They're being mamashmesh their tefillin. And then I see the cameraman going again a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right. He didn't like that the tefillin weren't straight. Like Ravona the Hayal Makula, what is going on over here? And what's going on over here is very dangerous, and this is what I'd like to talk about, and this is exactly what's happening in our generation. In our generation, and it's happening very, very seriously, we are spectators in our own lives. Nothing's really happening, right? At our bar mitzvah, basically what we're doing is we're with the cameraman. At our chasana, I remember there was a chasana where it was impossible to get the chasan and kal to be there on time, no problem. We all stood there, and there was a big hole in the middle. And then the cameraman, you know, the people, they just plop the chasan and kala in for the album. They don't even have to be there at the picture. Who needs them there, Bichlal? Why stress out a chasan and kala during pictures? Give them one picture, and then you take the mouse, and you just place them in every picture. Today, people relate to their lives like spectators. Spectators, from the outside in. Now we have everybody taking all these pictures of themselves. I saw a guy on Kvish Echad. Some guy was taking a picture of himself on Kvish Echad. I wanted to scream out my window, it's Kvish Echad. You know, this is not a big place in Israel. I know you're happy to be in Israel, but there are plenty of sites over here. Kvish Echad is not the exciting place to be. And the truth is that probably over 30 years ago, Rav Avigdor Nevensal Shlita, he's one of the Kedoshim in Yerushalayim, he's one of the Tzaddikim in the Old City, if you can find him, from the great Talmidei Chacham of the generation. He learned with Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach B'Chavrusa, they finished Shas many, many times. And one time, there was a group of Americans that was crowding around them, around Rav Avigdor Nevensal and Rav Shlomo Zalman. And Rav Avigdor Nevensal said to Rav Shlomo Zalman, what's the first thing that Americans are going to do when Melech HaMashiach comes? Take a picture. This was prophetic. Except now it's not Americans. The entire world is looking at themselves like from the outside in. They only know they were somewhere when they've recorded it for themselves. But they spend the whole time that they're in experiences how to see it afterwards. It's a very scary thing. It's what we call chitzonius. Living outside of yourself. A person who lives this way can never enter anything deep. inside of us is a deep, deep world. And it's very hard to find that world if you don't have to. And the vast majority of people are walking around having never looked inside to see what's cooking, what's going on inside. In fact, there's an amazing Gemara in Brachas that tells us that we have a neshama, in case we didn't know. There's a Gemara, it's also a pasuk, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Vayipach Ba'ap of Nishmas Chaim. But the Gemara in Brachas tells something amazing about this neshama. What does it look like? What is a neshama? So the neshama, apparently, the Gemara in Brachas Daf Yud says is very similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the neshama, and the neshama comes from the Kisei HaKavod. Hani Barchi Nafshi Keneged Mi Amran David. When David said Barchi Nafshi, who was it Keneged? It was Keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Neshama. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Molei Kol HaOlam. Hashem is around the entire world, the entire universe. Af Neshama Moleis Kol HaGuf. The Neshama is somehow part of our entire body. We feel that we have a Neshama in every part of us. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Roev Eino Nireh. Hashem sees, but you can't see Hashem. You can look everywhere, you can't see him. He's invisible. He has no physical being. Af neshama roeh, the neshama senses everything, it sees everything. Ve'eino nearest, but you can't see it. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu, zanes kol ha'olam, Hashem feeds the whole world, so too the neshama feeds the entire body. And now listen to this. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tahar, Hashem is clean, is pure, so too the neshama is tahora, like we say in the davening, neshama asher nasata bi tahori. Then it says the following thing. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoshev bechadrei chadar. Hashem is in hidden chambers. Af neshama yosheves bechadrei chadar. So too our neshama is in a hidden chamber. Now this is the key to what's going on over here. We all are here with big things happening. But there are things that are happening in hidden chambers of ourselves that we've never seen before. We don't even know about them, Bechlau. Sometimes there are so many things going on in front of you, but you can't ever hear them or see them. Try in Manhattan to see thousands of stars, right? I challenge you. Look up, go into Times Square, look up and see if you see any stars. Doesn't mean the stars aren't there, but the lights reflect off the atmosphere to the extent that you can't see what's going on. And every one of us has a neshama tahora that's bechadrei chadarim, that's hiding within us that we've never even tapped into. How do you find it? You need a long period of time of searching and pushing and looking and looking and looking and digging and digging and digging and boom, it pops up. It's bechadrei chadarim. That is winter's man. Winter is already, the makor for winter is already in this week's parsha. Winter is, the pasuk says, od kol yemei haaretz zera vekotzer, after the mabel, vakor was cold out, vachom and their summer, vachoref v'yom v'layla lo yishbosu. We have different seasons. What is the season of winter? Says Rashi, Choref is Eis Zera Se'orim V'kitnia Sacharifin Lisbashel. It's a time to plant. You plant and plant and plant. There are certain things in life that will never be achieved with short amounts of time. You have to start to get in touch with something that you've never bichlal even knew you had within you. How much do we really know about ourselves? How much do we know? I have a tzad that I'm an incredible guitar player. I have a tzad. I have a very good ear for music. I have a very good ear for music. I think that if I was in front of a piano, just by, if I had patience and whatever, I could probably figure everything out just from listening. But when I played the guitar, I got my mom to buy me a lot of things. I told her that I was going to play ice hockey. She bought me all the equipment. I even told her I was going to be a Boy Scout. She got me, that nerdy suit with all the badges. She went through a lot with me. Al Koponim, one of my things was guitar. So I bought the guitar. I bought a lot of things. I don't know where they all are now. They somehow disappeared. Could have a whole gemach. But I'll call upon him. I remember playing that guitar and it was hurting my fingers. I was not excited to continue because it hurts. I mean, they told me you're going to get these calluses and things. I didn't have patience for it. But you never know. It could very well be that I would be the next Jewish Jimi Hendrix. I mean, it's possible. But you would never know. A better, you know, a much more mechubad. I'd be able to teach Levim how to do things in the Zman of the Beis HaMikdash. But I will never know. And it's not. And it's totally possible that I would be that. But it's somewhere inside, and it never expressed itself. It never had an opportunity to come out because I didn't dig for long enough. I didn't dig for long enough. And it's the same thing with the neshama. The neshama needs to be taken care of in a certain way. Why do all these people do so well in yeshiva? There's only one reason. The neshama emerges. They find a way to emerge. And how does that happen? Rabbeinu Bechai says something incredible. Rabbeinu Bechai says, in Parshas Lech Lecha, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Ches, Vayehal Avram. Avraham was encamped. He put himself in a tent. Says Rabbeinu Bechai, Hahiluch Hazeh, Tznuas HaNefesh HaSichlis, VaHashket HaGuf. Vizehu Vayel Miloshin Yoshev Al-Halam. He says, when the body is moving, the neshama slows down. Ki drishas hachachmos tzarech tnuas nefesh. When you want to do something deep, to delve into the chachmas Hashem, into the Torah, your neshama has to be moving. V'hashkin haguf. And your body has to be quiet. Behefech mitzarech haguf. The opposite of physical beings. Shehem tzrichim nanua haguf. If a guy wants to lift weights, a guy wants to run, his body's going to move, but his neshama is going to be dormant. If he wants to eat pizza after pizza after pizza, his body, his digestive system is going to be rocking, but his neshama is going to be very quiet. And Rabbeinu Bechai says, if your body is quiet, your neshama can speak. If your neshama is moving, then your body is not. There's a tension, there's a war. And there's a very simple war that we've heard about, but it's a real war between the neshama and the guf. The neshama needs a time to be able to breathe for once. The neshama has not had an opportunity to see the stars. It's always in Times Square with all the hustle and bustle. It can't see anything. It needs a time to calm down for an extended period of time, and all of a sudden you start feeling new things that you've never felt before. New feelings, new attachments, new guilt, new optimism, new love, new hate, new fears. The Chazon Ish says something that I can't believe I even continued reading this sefer, because this is the opening line and I should have given up, basically thinking that he has no idea what people are like. He has no concept of me. He has no concept of regular yeshiva bachim. The Chazon Ish is that holy man. You know, he can't relate. Because this is what he says. He says, Midas Emuna, this is the opener of Emuna B'tachem, okay? Midas Emuna hi netiya daka me'adinas hanefesh. Emuna is this refined feeling in the soul. Ima adam hu bal nefesh. If someone's a bal nefesh, someone's a spiritual person, ushaisai shas heshket, and he has a quiet moment, chafshi me ravon tavani, his yetzahara is not bothering him today. He had a good lunch, he slept well, other things, he's relaxed, and then eino marhiva mimachzi shemaim larum, he gazes to the sky. Says the Chazon Ish, such a person all of a sudden will look at the sky and he'll say, who created this? How did he create this? I will run through fire and water until I answer the mystery of the universe. This is a sefer for yeshiva bachram? I don't remember ever doing this. This sounds like what Avraham Avinu did. You know what it says in the Chazon Ish? He says, if someone has a quiet moment and feels at ease, then this is what happens to him. Maybe we've never even experienced the moment that the Chazon Ish is telling us. But not because we're not spiritual. Because we have a neshama. It's because we've never let life become quiet. We've never slowed things down. We've basically given in to every impulse that we've had. And we can't make it a day or two without that. And there's so much noise that we have no idea what's happening within us. There's no quiet, and there's a storm. We're in the middle of Times Square. And we're missing out on our ikar, who we are. We're losing out on finding out who we are by not giving us ourselves this time. In terms of self-awareness, what is the guf that we have? You know, the Mekubalim say, the Nefesh HaChayim, the Shlach HaKadosh, say the guf, the body that we have, is called a na'al, a shoe. Why is it called a shoe? Well, it's very simple. What are shoes? Shoes get you from one place to the other. A neshama has to travel. So it needs a shoe. It needs a shoe. Now, basically, according to Chazal, our guf, all it is a shoe. Right? Imagine a guy who, he lives for his shoes. Right? He's got these Ferragamo shoes. Right? Sparkling, you know, the metal part, he sparkles it every day. Right? But he's wearing pajamas all day. He's walking around with his Ferragamo shoes and his pajamas. He looks like a total fool, right? Tank top shorts and Ferragamo shoes, right? He looks like an idiot, right? And you're like, whoa, good idea. I want to do that, right? No, he looks like a fool. What's pshat? Pshat is that's such a small part of you, buddy. You're going to identify just with your shoes? When I was in seventh grade, Rabosai, I had something incredible happen. The Reebok pump came out. Remember the Reebok pump? The Reebok pump, you guys don't know about this, okay? This is in the old days when they used to churn the butter and, you know, before electricity. But they had something called the Reebok pump. And this was another thing that I drove my mother crazy about, because this was a shoe that you tied, but you could pump it up, and it became really tight. And I was convinced that I was going to get good at basketball if I had this, okay? So I was the first guy to get it because I was a very good wheeler and dealer with my mom. I remember that day. I can see it now. I woke up in the morning and the Reebok pumps are sitting there. And I put those on and I came to school and kachave. Everyone was bowing down to me. Can I pump you? Can I release you? Because there's a release button too. Like, you could pump, you could release. No, stop your pumping, he'll continue. I was like the king of the world. People were lying on the floor for me, right? To be a shoe, though, Rabosai, is usually not so glorious. It's not so glorious. Since then, I don't think any shoes cause so much excitement. At least there's not so much. You'll tell me. I don't know. But I'll call upon him to understand that we've been living in the tofel. We've been living in the bottom, bottom, bottom sugya of who we are. And now we're going to have an opportunity where we're going to emerge. We're going to end up finding out who we are. And the Mesillas Yesharim says this be'etzim. The Mesillas Yesharim says, he brings in Perek Aleph, the famous Koheles Rabbah. He says, Gam nefesh lo timale, mashal l'maha davardome li'iruni shenasa bas malachim. A villager marries a princess, okay? That's the mashal of the neshama entering the body. A villager, what does he know about anything? And he's marrying this princess, Im Yavila Komash Va'olam. He's bringing her beef jerky. Hey, beef jerky for you. You can't bring a princess beef jerky. Beef jerky's in now, by the way. I don't know. I fought my kids. Now beef jerky's in. But it's not in. It is. I found out. It's in. But I'll go pun him. Beef jerky is not going to do it for a princess, right? Maybe a carving station. I don't even know if that works for a princess. I'll go pun him. She's a bas melech. Im yavi lo kol ma sheba'olam einam chashuvim laklom shibas melech. Kacha nefesh. Ilu hevesa lo kol ma donei olam einam klom la. If you would give her anything in the world, it would not do anything for you. It wouldn't do anything for her. And the more a person is a body, the more he thinks, pizza, and running around and doing narishkeit, and pizza. But when a person starts realizing that he has so much more to himself, so then he can't even enjoy these things the same way. It doesn't work anymore. He starts emerging into a new self, but it's who he is. He's now functioning using his real neshama that was bechadrei chadarim. Because over time, of letting it get a chance, staying away from bad things for an extended period of time, for a winter, investing in positive things, in davening, in learning, over and over and over, and suddenly, wow, why am I enjoying this? I'm starting to enjoy this. Why? Why should any person enjoy davening? It's so boring to daven, you'll excuse me. It's so boring. I have no idea why I go every day. I mean, now I have a job that I'm officially a religious figure, so it doesn't look good if I don't go. But why do you come every day? It's so boring to daven. And sometimes, you'll excuse me, it's so boring to learn. And the answer is, no, it's not. It's boring for a body to daven. I don't know why it's enjoyable to daven. The only answer is I have a neshama. I don't know why it's enjoyable to learn. It's because I have a neshama. The more a person's living in the neshama, they start enjoying new things. And they start despising old things. They become totally different. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh is not making this up. He's telling you something. This is probably the most famous Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, and it sounds wild, but he's not making this up. It says in Dvarim Chavav, Pasuk Yiraleth, in the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. Ve'ein toiv ela toira. Shim hayu bnei Adam, margishin b'mesikas v'arevas toiv ha-toira. If people would actually experience the true sweetness of learning, hayu mishtagim, they would go out of their minds in an ecstasy. Umislatim acharei, they would run after Torah uncontrollably, chasing after it. V'lo yichashev beinayim malei olam kesef v'zav l'ma'uma, they wouldn't think about gold and silver or worldly things. Ki ha-Torah koileles kol ha-toivish sheba olam. The Torah has every good thing in it. And you're saying, give me a break. No, it doesn't. And the answer is it does to someone who lets there be a quiet in their life. Like the Chazon Ish said, if someone would allow themselves to stop running, to stop caring what their friends think. Most of us, aside from taking pictures of ourselves, only do things based on the reaction of our friends. We're living outside of ourselves. Everything we do is what the boys are going to say, what the boys are going to do, what the boys are going to think. Living that way will never allow a person to find the chadrei chadarim that's inside of them. I remember my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zatzal. He said, I actually heard this yesterday. I heard it on a recording on the way, I was taking a long trip with my wife, and we were going, and we were listening to Rav Moshe Shapiro, and Rav Moshe said that someone who ever got a geschmack in learning, if it ever happened, knows that it's better than any physical pleasure that ever existed. If that ever happened to somebody. And I'll tell you what happened. During this year, it happened to me. All of a sudden, Rav Moshe said something that I had heard this year. I had heard it before. I hopped a nuance in the shir that changed everything. I stopped the shir. My wife said, why are you stopping the shir? I said, I have to change everything. Everything's different now. He said two things that put together a whole new olam for me. And I just said, wow, where would I want to be other than this right now? Who could offer me anything? Nobody could offer me anything in the world. But you know why? Because I already ate breakfast. If I wouldn't have eaten breakfast, I'd probably run to, you know, have a donut or something. But in that quiet moment, after having a geschmack of breakfast, being able to have that masikas, but a person just has to let the neshama speak. We have to let it speak. And it says so much, it just needs not to be interrupted. And that's what the Gaon says in Mishlei. The Gaon says something that's misquoted. We love to say that famous things are misquoted, right? We know that a kid learns Kol HaTorah Kula in utero, in the womb, in the rechem. However, that's not so true according to the Gaon. Even though that's a Gemara in Nida and Daf Lamed, but the Gaon has a different interpretation of it. Says the Gaon, this is in Mishlei Tes Zayin Chav Vav. Melamdin la'adam beten imo kol ha'tayra. Ma sheyia b'yicholes adam la'asiga kol yimei amda b'zeh olam. We learn the kol ha'tayra kula that we can understand in our lives. And then the Malach patches us and we forget it. And says the Gaon, our whole lives are to try to retrieve that wisdom. We don't learn kol ha'tayra kula in our rechem. We learn our chelik of Torah. Whatever our neshama can bring to the world in Torah, we were booted up with something that's here already. It's not something that's far away. It's not even kol ha'tayra kula. It could be that not all of the Zohar HaKadosh is in all of our neshamas. But it could be that all of Mayid, all of Nashim, all of Nezikim, all of Kadshim is there. And all you have to do is just bring it out. You don't have to find something new in yourself. You know why? That's why it's enjoyable, because it's coming home. If Torah was something outside of yourself, then it's very risky what I'm saying over here, because I could be dead wrong. But the reason every one of us will enjoy learning if we give it a chance is because we will feel like we're coming back to something that we were. He identifies with me, right? Whenever you enjoy a good schmooze or something, it's like, he understands me. Or you get good advice, he understands me. There's an enjoyment to feel like someone gets you. The Torah is us. And when a person learns and they go from day to day, they start discovering how big they are. They start leaving the Reebok pump and becoming a man. And it happens naturally. Everyone wants Tom, wants flavor. What's flavor? Flavor is relating to something. Right? When something connects to you, you relate to it. You have a geschmack in it. That's really the bracha of Varevna. It's very nice. Everyone loves to say Varevna. Now there are even songs Varevna. Why are you davening to make Torah sweet? Why don't I daven to make a shofar sweet? That it should taste like a popsicle. You put it in your mouth, it tastes like a popsicle. It's gevaldik. Right? That my lulav should be sweet. No, because Torah, it's not about just the Torah should be enjoyable. It's that I should feel like I'm discovering myself. That's the geshmak, that's what Varevna is. Let me identify with myself. Let me stop looking at my shoes. Let me stop looking at my friends. Let me stop leaving the Beis Medrash. Let me go through a winter and emerge. Emerge someone who wants to be doing this. Who wants to be here. Who wants to be part of this? And this is what happens, really. It's not a fake, these guys who stark out, you don't know what happens to them. Why is it so natural by the ones who do it right? There are people who really do it right, and they're not, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Then they have a mohawk, you know? No, they're really built, and it seems like it's real. What happened? They were ballers. What happened to these guys? The answer is only one thing. Nothing happened to them. They didn't change at all. They simply got in touch with higher parts of themselves. That's all they did, and that's why it looks so natural. He, give me a break. He really could have given that up this year. He really could have introduced himself to so much Torah, so much Yerushalayim, so much Avodah Zarah. The answer is he didn't introduce himself to something new. He brought himself back. He brought himself back. And this is the biggest chizuk for anyone, is we're not trying to find something that's away from us. We're pashut trying to get it. But we have to invest. If a person wants to take Chorev Zman seriously, they will become great after Chorev Zman. If a person just wants to wait till incentives, until they're forced into some becoming an indentured servant, it's not the greatest thing. It won't work. It won't work so great. A person has an opportunity to give Hashem a chance and give his own neshama a chance to stop taking selfies of himself, but become somebody that's worth taking a picture of. We should all be zeicha to have a good Chorev Zman and to have a real emes hakinyan in Varevna, Hashem Elokeinu, in the Torah becoming a Masikas and a Kinyan in our own Chelik in Torah.